This is Coffee with Kelly, a dynamic podcast that's dedicated to driving positive change in school safety. I'm your host, Ethan Woodman, product marketing specialist for Crisis Go. And I'm joined by my esteemed colleague, Kelly Moore, senior school safety specialist for Crisis Go. Our mission is to empower you with essential knowledge, tools, and inspiration required to foster a safer and more secure school environment. We hope this podcast will be the catalyst for transformation in your schools. Join us as we continue to dive into the world of school safety.
We're on video, Kelly. Here we are.
I want to say this is the first time we're on video, but it's not really.
This is
our third attempt.
we've gone through some stuff to get here, but we're here.
We are here.
Hopefully this is the start of something great.
Yeah.
So I know I've done this a few times, but get this in focus. If you have your smartphone, there we go. You can actually take out your camera and you can actually scan that QR code, and it's going to bring you to our podcast and blogs site where you can actually subscribe and get our podcast and blogs whenever we upload them.
And it would help us out if you reviewed and gave us some stars.
Yeah, we need all the stars.
We need all the stars. But let us know. Let us know how we're doing, how we can improve. If you want to hear something specific, that'd be fantastic as well. One of the things we found out, I think it was yesterday, is that we're actually being listened to internationally.
That's true. Somewhere out there, out in the world.
Isn't that fun?
I don't remember what the countries were, but...
Well, there was the UK, Germany, Russia.
Russia.
Canada, the US, obviously.
Yeah.
I think there was one more, but I forget what that one was.
So how's it feel to be an international superstar?
Let me know. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. Yeah. But it's crazy how far reaching this is. And, you know, we started a year ago. This is essentially our anniversary, our first anniversary edition. And we started a year ago with this crazy idea. And we've come a long way. We've done lots and lots of things, talked about lots of things that we probably hadn't thought about, you know, a little over a year ago. So it's been fun and crazy, actually. Crazy.
It is pretty nuts.
Pretty nuts. My son was saying, I am about as illiterate as they come in technology. And my son, who's pretty much a techno nerd, is just like besides himself, saying, who would have ever thought that his dad would be on a podcast?
And here you are.
Here we are. So what do we got going today, Ethan?
Well, you know, it's the new year. So let's talk about what is your charge for schools in this second half of their year? Because that's kind of the school season, right? That's they're in the second half. So what are the goals? What are we looking for here?
We should be well into our cycle. Our cadence should be really working very well. Everything should be flowing very smoothly. Obviously, that's not always the case, and we're going to have to adjust. And adjusting and tweaking and fine-tuning our cadence is important. It's an important part of the process. As we get into the next half of the school year, we probably already started a little bit of this, but we really should be focused on, from the administrative and district leadership level, we should be focused on identifying what we currently have, what we need, and how are we going to get it, and really start looking at the budgeting process and how that impacts our ability to improve our safety, fill gaps within our programs, and really look to improving our overall standing in our program. You know, we always look at are obstacles. We talk about this all of the time, about what are the major obstacles that we see in school safety. And the top two, almost every time and money. And both of those are what we should be looking at to overcome in the next couple of weeks. And by that is, we need to get things put into and accepted and approved into the budget, so that when we start the planning and the actual implementation of our program in the school year 24-25, that everything's already set. And those things that need to be purchased can be purchased. Those things that need to be implemented can be implemented. New policies should be trained. People should have the training that they need. Remember, we need to train our returning employees, our new employees, and those who have a different responsibility. But we have to make that known now as to what it is that we're going to expect in the coming year, and get all of the scheduling done, get all of the resources behind us so that we can accomplish that. And that's where we got to start working now. And this should actually become part of your cadence. Your annual cadence is when you start looking at the budget process for next year and what we're going to do next year, this should always be a consideration for that.
So my next question is, I've asked you what schools need to, you know, continue or start doing. What is the number one thing that you want to see schools stop doing?
The number one.
Number one. You know what it is.
Yeah, I do. And what I want them to do is start getting ahead of the safety curve. Start planning for things that they're saying that are out there that they never knew. They didn't think it was possible. And this goes to what I want them to stop doing. And really what it is I want people to stop saying the unthinkable, the unimaginable. We never thought it would happen here. And the reason I say that is because schools are part of our society. Everything that happens within our society happens within our schools. We are long past this ideology that our schools are these unique, isolated, completely safe zones. And we need to stop thinking that they are. We need to start actively, proactively looking at what is happening and then ask ourselves this question. If this were to happen at our school, how would we respond? Would we be able to respond? Do we have the resources to respond? Do we have the training to respond? And when we start looking at how we even put ourselves into a position to ask that question, all you have to do is look in the news. All of these things are publicly talked about within hours, if not minutes, after they occur. And we just have to look at them. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, our first inclination is to protect our high schools because we think that's where it's going to happen next, right? But a little over a year ago, we had a 6-year-old shoot his teacher in Virginia. So we know this can happen all the way down into the kindergarten and first grade years. And I used to say, hey, you know, it's not going to happen, but it is. It has. And let's stop saying this can never happen. It's not likely going to happen, but it's a possibility. And we need to prepare ourselves for that possibility. And recently, last week in Virginia, where I live, we had an instance where there were 4 or 5 fourth graders who were sent to the hospital after being exposed to fentanyl. Again, this is not something you would typically expect to happen in an elementary school, but it happened. And it happened because the parents use fentanyl. They have some dealing with fentanyl. I don't know the whole story there. But at one point, there was a Ziploc bag that stored fentanyl. that bag was emptied, and the fourth grader, the son in this case, put some gummy bears in that same plastic bag, and it got contaminated with fentanyl. And then he took it to school and offered these innocent gummy bear candies, completely legitimate. They weren't meant to be laced with anything, but they got accidentally laced with, contaminated with fentanyl, and started handing them out. And very quickly, they all started feeling sick. They started having bad reactions to the fentanyl, and they all got taken to the hospital, and they traced it back to these little gummy bears. So if you take that and you look and go, oh my God, what if that happened at my school? You can't stop there. That would be horrible if it happened at my school. It would be.
Yeah.
But do you have the ability to respond? Do you have the Narcan or the Naloxone is the generic name for Narcan? Do you have that available? Do you have enough available to treat several kids? And let's just tweak that scenario a little bit. So you address that initial incident or scenario, and you say, okay, I need to get some Narcan, and I need to get several doses in case we have, let's say, 10 people exposed. So you take that and you twist it just a little bit. What if that becomes malicious with malicious intent? This was accidental. Sure, mom and dad are in jail, and they're probably going to spend a little time in jail. But what if this was a malicious intent? And without being violent, we could have a very similar outcome.
Mm.
Right?
That's a good point.
And so how much Narcan do we need? And how do we prevent that from happening? You know, obviously this school is, they took the step to say no more sharing of your food or candies. You can't do it. Okay, that's a logical step. But what if you have kids that are maliciously handing out tainted candies? Or what if you have a kids, there's no malicious intent, but they're all using fentanyl at school, and you have a group of them that overdose or what have you. So this is how you start saying, okay, we need to think about this. And as opposed to waiting for something to happen and then being on the camera when the news, the national media comes because 10 people overdosed on your campus. And somebody says, the unthinkable happened today. We would have never thought this happened. Why not? You knew about it. You should have known about it. Your job is to keep these kids safe. So your job is to think about this and imagine this. And, you know, that's where I work through these things. And as an emergency planner from my previous career, my job was to think about scenarios and always keep my people informed about these scenarios. Another example of that was the Harvest Festival shooting in Las Vegas, where you had a person shooting into a concert from an elevated sniper position. And that was relatively close to one of these unsanctioned festivals that we've talked about a couple of times.
Yep.
And after that, you know, I hadn't thought about it previously, but now I do. Now I have to, because I have this street that can have in excess of 25,000 kids compressed and compacted into this very small area. And I have these rows and rows of apartment buildings. They're only, I think the tallest one's probably 3 stories, but it's still an elevated position. And when you have your entire street lined by these apartment complexes, then that makes it a box canyon. And it makes it so it's very difficult to escape. So now, as the incident commander for that incident, or that operation, I should say, then we have to look at, okay, how would I respond to that? And the answer for us was a quick reaction team that could and was just standing by in case something like that happened. We could send them in to address the issue as quickly as possible, staged it, you know, in a short distance from that possibility. So it's our job as emergency managers, as safety experts, as the protectors of our schools and our citizenry, it's our job to think of these things and imagine these things happening and asking, what if? What if that happened here? Or if this happened, and then take it and tweak it a little bit. This goes back to drilling and tabletop exercises and how we practice our craft, you know, our procedures and stuff. It's easy to take a current, you don't have to make up scenarios. There's enough of them out there that we can really get a very good knowledge basis just by looking at what's already happened and say, okay, what happened if that happened here? And then the next question is, well, what if I changed it from the person coming in the entrance of our school to jumping the back fence? How does that change the event? Say everything else is identical, but you just tweak that, or you tweak the time of day, or what is happening during a given time frame, lunch, passing period, drop off, pick up, those types of things. And it just irritates me a wee bit when people say, yep, we had the unimaginable happen.
Yeah. It's only unimaginable because you didn't think about it.
Yeah, it's not unimaginable.
Yeah, it's there. Not it's
unthinkable. You just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
It's thinkable. It's imaginable. And it's our job to do that, not just say, oh, it's unimaginable. There's nothing we could do about it. Wrong. Let's do something about it.
So with this, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. And this upcoming year, we're going to, you know, add some more value to our podcast, obviously, with video. Hopefully it's adding value, but we're also going to be adding some, I think the plan is to add some more partner like interviews and all mm-hmm. that. So that would be really good. You know, we have a ton of partners. We have a new partner program that's name mm-hmm. has yet to be released. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be near the end of January. So that's pretty exciting. We've got a lot of good stuff going on, Kelly. We're moving right along.
Yeah, I think especially as a company, Crisis Go is really going to take a hard look at, and I encourage everyone to do this same process. Where are we at?
Yep.
And what do we need to do to improve? And, you know, I think we're going to take a hard look at that. And I think there's lots of exciting potential out there. I think we're going to start offering in-person training based upon kind of the stuff that I talk about on the podcast. So I think that's coming. I think it's needed. Exactly how that's going to look when it's all said and done is yet to be determined, but we're working through that right now. And I think it's important to really understand the importance of partners and integration and management of all of our systems and really capitalizing and leveraging the abilities of all of our partners together and what we can do with them and what they can do with us. And so I think as we examine that and as we work through that, I think it's going to be exciting for us. I really do.
Oh yeah. It's going to be a good year, Kelly.
It's going to be a good year. What do we got coming up at the end of the month in January?
We got FETC.
We do have FETC. What are we doing there?
Oh man, that's where we're introducing our partner program. We've got a few of our partners that are joining us, so we're super excited to be able to, you know, meet them in person and hang out with them and, you know, showcase what our integrations can do. We're going to have some ability to actually basically demo what our solutions, you know, together can do for a school, so people will actually be able to like interact with some screens and all that. So that's going to be
It's going to be huge for us. I think this is something that you and Kayla have been working diligently on since May.
It's been a few months.
It's been a few months, but that's good because this is a new concept for us, where we are looking at not only as a company integrating and working with our partners, but from the marketing side, from the sales side, from the account management side, everything that we do is going to be looked at with our partners. And that's why we're so excited about not only our new partner program coming up, our certified partner program that is coming, and there's going to be a lot more information about that shortly, but we're integrating with them at the conference at FETC. And really being able, we're going to be all right next to each other. FETC was very gracious in letting us locate all of our partners and us together. So we can interact with them. They can interact with us. We can make referrals right then and there. And we can demo. And we can demo those integrations. And I think that's going to be huge for us. And we would certainly love to see people there come by our booths. I don't have the number, but we'll be there.
1750 something. I don't have it on hand.
Well, if it's 1750 something, you only have 10 booths to figure it out.
Yeah, we're near one of the theaters, right?
Yeah. So we'll get that information out, but we are taking the podcast on the road there. So come see us.
Coffee with Kelly on the road.
Coffee with Kelly on the road in Florida. Maybe Ethan and Kayla will be kind enough to give you some swag.
Maybe. If you subscribe.
Maybe.
That's how you win us over, is if you can show us that you've subscribed and like the podcast and
want to participate. You want to talk to us?
Yeah.
We'd be happy to answer your questions or ask you questions about what it is that you're doing, what your obstacles are, what do you see, you know, those types of things. And that's always a fun time for us. We've done that at a couple of conferences now, and everyone enjoys them. So
yeah.
And enjoys doing that. So that's fantastic. So we'd love to have you guys come up.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that's the end of the episode.
We're done.
I think this attempt is done. This guys, I think we finally got it on the third try. So make sure you subscribe to Coffee with Kelly. Kelly, don't hold your coffee over your computer because we know what happens when you do that.
Yeah. I have a history of spilling my coffee on my computer.
This guy.
Not only once, multiple times. All right. Let's press that button.
All right. See you later, guys.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. And if you have any questions about what we discussed, leave a comment on our website at crisisgo.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Coffee with Kelly, a discussion on school safety.